are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you. It's a different feel to this rapid react. Not only did the 49ers win 34-3 over the Oakland Raiders, it was Thursday night football primetime action. So this rapid react, not coming on a Monday, it's coming on a Friday morning to you on whatever this podcast device is that you are listening on. And I think a lot of 49ers fans waking up feeling pretty happy. Got a nice solid 10 days to hang out and feel the good vibes of this victory. And a bunch of people that were pro, like, let's hashtag blow it for Bosa. Let's tank for draft picks. Even everybody on Twitter was like, yeah, never mind. This was a good win. And maybe one person was like, yeah, I don't want to win any games. It was awesome. It was awesome to see the 49ers play good. The story of Nick Mullins, which I will talk about a lot on this episode of the show, was fantastic. Him getting emotional at the end of the game, talking to Aaron Andrews on the field, post-game interview. Just a storybook situation for Nick Mullins, who's been fighting for a roster spot on the practice squad, gets called up, and he's active but not playing, and now finally gets a chance to play in an NFL game and played just fantastic. So we'll get into all that stuff, takeaways from this Thursday night football victory for the 49ers, and giveaway game balls at the end of the show. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we are everywhere. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. Start getting those mailbag questions in. Going to dip into the bag probably on Tuesday's episode with Mr. Nick Winkler. You can also email the show at lockedon49ers@gmail.com. All right, so from the start, well, first of all, let's get to the inactives, which we already knew about Reuben Foster, Jaquaski Tartt, and Antoine Exum that were due to injury. Those were known beforehand. We weren't sure about C.J. Beathard. It was reported earlier in the day, Thursday, that Beathard would be active and that they were going to waive Savage again. So I thought that meant maybe that he was going to start, because if he's healthy enough to be active, then that means he has to be healthy enough to play, which means he'd probably start. But no. Nick Mullins, about an hour before game time, we found out Nick Mullins was actually going to get his first NFL start. A couple other inactives, Sean Coleman again, Julian Taylor again, and then Eric Magnuson. You hope Eric Magnuson's not getting punished for the botched snap last week, because he played pretty well aside, and he's a pretty versatile player. But Weston Richburg back this week, so I'm guessing that's why Magnuson was inactive, although Magnuson had been active for the last few games. But the one that really stood out to me was Trent Taylor. Not listed as an injury, he was listed as a healthy scratch, which tells me that they were trying to see some other guys in the slot, and there was a little mini Richie James breakout in this game that we will get to. But obviously the big story was Nick Mullins, and from the first play, it was obvious. He sees things so much quicker than C.J. Beathard. From the first play of the game, snaps the ball. He knows where the ball's going, turns, makes the throw, accurate throw. Ball comes out on time. The timing was so good throughout the game. Gets the ball out on time, accurate, completes a first down pass to Marquise Goodwin. Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. The first drive of the game, the Raiders went screen pass crazy all the way down the field. 49ers not able to tackle anybody. The 49ers did tighten up and then held the Raiders to a field goal. Raiders had the only lead of the game there at 3-0. And there was a few bad attempts, and especially bad tackle attempts by Kaywan Williams on that first drive. Dwayne Harris got a first down on a screen pass on 2nd and 13, which you never want to see. Harris broke three more tackles on the ensuing kickoff after the 49ers' first drive. So the 49ers started out not being able to tackle very well, but really tightened up. And I think a lot of that was the spark that Nick Mullins brought to the field. Nick Mullins effect, which was somewhat reminiscent about the Garoppolo effect that happened down the stretch. Not only the passing game improved, but everything improved across the board. And we saw a lot of that on Thursday night. And some of it, obviously, playing against a bad team. But that first drive, Nick Mullins coming out, empty backfield, 49ers not even trying to fake a run there. Finds Marquise Goodwin for the out route and a first down. Big runs back-to-back by Breida and Mostert, who split time for most of the game, into Raiders territory already. Play-action pass from Mullins to Pierre Garçon, and he was wide open for the touchdown. Walked into the end zone. But just best drive of the season by far for the 49ers. Nick Mullins' first drive of his career was the best drive the 49ers had all year. 7-3 49ers, and really they wouldn't look back from there. Oakland selling out against the run early, that play action, especially Reggie Nelson, who was the safety on that side that Pierre Garçon ended up going to. Just bad looks all around by that Oakland defense and the Oakland offense, really. Nick Mullins opens the game 6-for-6 to start, reminding 49ers fans that Pierre Garçon is still on the roster, and he would have his first incompletion there. Ran down the field, though, again. Pierre Garçon, 56 yards, and that was one yard short of his season high after two drives with the 49ers. Mullins was 7 of 8 for 91 yards and a touchdown early in that game. And so it was awesome to see Pierre Garçon. It's like, oh, yeah, he's still on this team. Jimmy Ward had a little extra pep in his step. Those guys were in trade rumors all week, and it looked like they were sort of revitalized knowing that they were going to stick around and be on the 49ers. And so that was really awesome to see. Mullins in the red zone threw a pass right through Daryl Worley's hands. He threw a couple of bad passes. That one was ill-advised. He should have just not thrown that one. He should have kept that one in his pocket. And he sailed a couple of passes. But really, I mean, you're nitpicking there. There was a couple of drops. He was good, man. He was on target for the most part. Couple of sailed throws. But the timing, that was the big thing. Ball coming out on time. Ball coming out accurately. He was looking off defenders. He had full control of the huddle. After the game, people were talking about, Kyle Juszczyk was saying, like, yeah, this guy was telling us to be quiet. He was in full control of that huddle, and it was pretty obvious that he knew what was going on with Kyle Shanahan's offense, knew how to run it, and was very decisive out there. And it was night and day seeing Nick Mullins running that offense versus what we'd seen with C.J. Beathard. And again, I know it was against the Raiders. But yeah, after that near interception, Mullins throws it through Daryl Worley's hands in the end zone, comes back, very next play, short memory, rifles a pass to Kendrick Bourne, looking off the safety, comes back to the slant. Bourne was running from the right side into the middle of the end zone, 14-3 49ers. I mentioned Jimmy Ward flying around, 49ers' entire defense playing with a little bit more urgency. Fred Warner as well was flying around making plays, and it really was the Mullins effect out there. And the rest of the defense got involved. The 49ers pass rush was all of a sudden all over the place. I had my notes here. 3 sacks? Question mark what? Already a season high in the second quarter. And then right after I wrote that, boom, they had 4 sacks. They ended up with 7 sacks of the day. 6 sacks of Derek Carr before he got pulled by John Gruden because he was going to get killed. And an interesting note about all those sacks. Guys like Cassius Marsh and Dakota Watson, who was gone all year, comes back for his first game, and they were just eating the Raiders' offensive line alive. And that left tackle for a lot of the game was Colton Miller until he got hurt and then similarly bounced out from guard to left tackle, and he didn't have much of a better chance against the 49ers' front. But the Raiders wanted to draft. This was the talk before draft and after the draft, that the Raiders really liked Mike McGlinchey. But they had to settle for Colton Miller because the 49ers were picking one spot ahead of the Raiders at number 9, took Mike McGlinchey. So the 49ers traded down with the Cardinals from 10 to 15, Cardinals trading up to draft Josh Rosen, and the Raiders ended up settling for their second favorite offensive tackle in Colton Miller, who just got battered in this game. And obviously because the Niners took McGlinchey right in front of them. But the reason the 49ers had that pick, because the Raiders and 49ers were tied last year, is that coin flip. That coin flip at the combine made it so the 49ers were picking 9 instead of 10, were able to draft Mike McGlinchey. How different would things have gone in the draft if the Raiders had that 9th pick and the Niners were 10? Raiders take Mike McGlinchey. Who knows what the 49ers would have done? Would they have done that trade and give a division rival a quarterback in Josh Rosen? Would they have taken a different player? Very interesting there. Would they have ended up with Colton Miller? So that's just that coin flip made such a difference in this football game and really in the trajectory of how the 49ers are going to build their offensive line for sure. Richie James, 53-yard reception, a little mini Richie James breakout in this game. He was featured on that drive, had a second catch, and then oh man, dropped an easy touchdown catch. Ended up with two catches for 60 yards. Could have been three catches for about 80 yards and a score. And I was bummed to see him drop that interception. 49ers settled for a Robbie Gould field goal, which was a 17-3 halftime score. Man, it was that close. Richie James kind of turning to look to run with the ball before he secured it. Oh, nearly the full Richie James breakout. Instead, I think it was a little bit of a mini Richie James breakout. I think he showed what he can do, though. The dude gets open. I love the confidence he plays with as a rookie. I want to see more of him with Mullins. And he's already, it looks like, surpassed, at least for the time being, Dante Pettis on the depth chart. Or at least he's being used more as a slot receiver, where they want Dante Pettis to play as an outside receiver. And so he's still playing behind Pierre Garçon, or more likely he's playing behind Marquise Goodwin. So with Trent Taylor being out, I think that left open the door for Richie James to make a few more plays and get on the field a little bit more. But I would like to see even more of Richie James, because he was kind of non-existent the rest of the game after he did drop that one pass. Okay, quick break, then we'll get to the second half game notes and some game balls to give away. So here were the halftime stats for Nick Mullins: 12 of 17, 167 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, a passer rating of 141. It actually went up from there in the second half, even though the 49ers were in route mode and were kind of sitting on the ball, as were the Raiders, just because they didn't want to get their quarterbacks killed. And then the play of the game happened. This is play, not only play of the game, I think this is play of the season so far. This was the most fun I had watching the 49ers play this season. It was such a fun game to watch. There were so many moments of like, wow, oh my God, look at that. It was really cool to see and see everybody be so excited, the 49ers players. Nobody complained all season long. There was no people trying to get out of town. There was no people with one foot out the door in San Francisco with the roster. So it was really cool to see all of these players get rewarded with a nice win, a primetime win, a rival win over the Raiders, and win easily. That was fun. And this George Kittle catch and run was nuts. Crazy one-handed catch. And first of all, the throw. Nick Mullins was getting pressured. He had nowhere to go. He couldn't step into the throw. So it was kind of all arm. And he put it into the only spot it could go, in between three or four defenders for George Kittle. And then George Kittle just reaches out. And after the game, he said he had his eyes closed. He just reached his mitts out there. And all of a sudden, it was in his arms. One-handed catch. And the safety makes a huge mistake, because there was a safety coming in and bearing down on George Kittle. But he didn't blow him up, and he didn't even knock the ball out. He just kind of ran past him, and then all of a sudden, George Kittle is off to the races and outrunning everybody. And then finally, Gary and Connolly catches up to him inside the 5-yard line. Then Kittle does finish the job. Mullins rolls left and finds him for the score, 24-3. But play of the game, at least, and probably play of the season. I might be forgetting something, but maybe play of the season so far, that Mullins to Kittle touchdown pass. An exclamation point to go up big. The route was on, 24-3. Primetime football game over the Bay Area rival Oakland Raiders. That was awesome. And that really was a huge moment in the night. And then the defense just went to town and pinned their ears back and went after Derek Carr. It's so much so that they had to take him out. But 6 sacks of Carr, 7 sacks total. 2.5 for Marsh, 1.5 for Watson, who made his first appearance of the season for the 49ers, was on IR all year. Dakota Watson, welcome back. And it was awesome, because there was one play that was borderline disrespectful, where Carr fumbled and the Raiders did get it back. There were 0 turnovers, by the way, in the entire game. Not only was Nick Mullins not a turnover machine, nobody was turning the ball over, especially how often Carr got hit for him not to turn it over. I think it was kind of semi-impressive. But there was one play where he did fumble. The Raiders did recover it. But the 49ers borderline disrespectfully just had a dance party, like, all over the Raiders. Dakota Watson was, like, swinging his junk over the top of the pile where people were trying to dig for the football. Cassius Marsh was doing, like, 9 karate kicks and then some other moves with Kaywan Williams and Richard Sherman. And it was kind of funny, but I'm surprised they didn't. The Raiders just had no fight. They didn't care. The Raiders were done. They folded like a chair, man. And you could tell on some other plays, especially, actually, you know, when you could tell was that very next drive where the 49ers got the ball back, and Raheem Mostert took the toss to the right, gets around the edge, and then took it 52 yards to the house. Some of that is because Mostert's really fast, but they were just not interested in tackling him. They were not interested in bringing Raheem Mostert down. And that was when you knew it was like, these guys are done. They are straight folding. The Raiders completely gave up in that game. And that was the moment you could tell was when Mostert was just running down the sideline and he just was like playing with dudes and just took it all the way to the house on a 52-yard score. Speaking of Mostert, though, a rough moment. And actually, I'm kind of glad I still haven't seen the video of the gruesome injury. Apparently, a broken forearm, it sounds like it was. His arm bent in a place and in a direction that it's not supposed to. And I haven't seen it because, thank goodness, that was when I was driving from work to home. And so I missed that one drive. And I don't really even want to see the replay of that. It sounds like Mostert's going to be done for the rest of the year. Not only does that hurt the 49ers' backfield, he was a Pro Bowl caliber gunner on special teams, so it's going to hurt their special teams unit. So I don't know who's going to take his place there. And that's one of the reasons why when you have a stud special teams player, you don't even want to expose him on offense all that much. And that's what happened. It was an awkward play, apparently, that I was listening to it on the radio. The Raiders' defensive line was in the backfield immediately, and then Mostert got hit. Looks like a broken arm, and Mostert probably will find out on Friday, but probably done for the year there with a broken arm. So that's rough with seeing how good he was playing, and he was had a really good game this week. He's had a bunch of good games since he's been sort of inserted into the rotation heavily at running back. So then Gruden removes Derek Carr after getting sacked six times so he doesn't continue to get killed, bringing in A.J. McCarron, who I forgot was currently a Oakland Raider. He entered the game, didn't do much at all, tried to get a conversion with the quarterback sneak on fourth and inches. 49ers defense was having none of it. They stuffed him, and basically it was just like, let's sit on the ball and get out of here from that point on. So there was a shot of John Gruden and his defensive coordinator, Paul Gunther, having words, a little argument on the sideline. And tons of shots of Gruden, because obviously primetime game, there's probably just one camera on Gruden the entire time. Some great facial expressions, like one time he's like semi-laughing, but you know it's like an evil laugh where he wants to murder somebody, and other times where he's just shocked. He's got that look on his face like, I don't know what's going on right now. What is happening? He was mouthing like, why the bleep can't we block anybody? He said one time when Carr was getting hit. And shortly after that is when they took Carr out of the game. So, man, the Oakland Raiders just falling apart. And that's one thing the 49ers never did, was completely fold like the Raiders did. And I think it's pretty clear, if it wasn't already, the Raiders are the worst team in the NFL. I think that's definitely what we learned on Thursday night. And so I'm interested to see what Nick Mullins looks like against some other teams that might have a little bit more heart, might have a little bit better roster, that might be playing for something a little bit. And I really believe that Nick Mullins is going to get that chance, because with the way he played and from what we've seen with C.J. Beathard, I don't see how you can't continue to roll Nick Mullins out there as the starting quarterback for the 49ers. All right, coming up, we'll give out some game balls on this Rapid React episode of Locked On 49ers. Okay, let's start by giving out some honorable mentions here. And there's multiple players that had really good games. I mean, I think I've crushed Cassius Marsh on this show, and I still was like, yeah, I don't know, whatever, with all his celebrations. But at least he's doing it in a win this time. 2.5 sacks. The 49ers just crushing their season high in sacks. They had that beaten in the first quarter. And 10 total sacks, I think, from the last two games. So the pass rush showing up against some bad offensive lines. But Cassius Marsh had 2.5 of them. Dakota Watson, welcome back. He was credited with 1.5 of those sacks. Honorable mention to Fred Warner, 7 tackles, a pass defense. He was fired up out there, as was Jimmy Ward, who should be an honorable mention. He only got credited with 4 tackles, but he was flying around and sort of solidified that center field, I think. And as long as he's healthy, I like him out there playing free safety for the 49ers. I think he's got a perfect set of skills with how fast he is and how much ground he can cover. And I think he's a smart player, and he's definitely willing to come up and run support, takes pretty good angles to the ball. So I like him in center field. I think it'll be nice for the 49ers to just leave him there now for the rest of the year, not screw around. you know, until he gets hurt, which inevitably he always seems to in his career so far. On offense, honorable mentions, George Kittle has to be mentioned with that catch, and that catch and run he made was awesome. Nick Mullins spreading the ball around. Pierre Garçon had his best game of the year so far. Forgot he was even on the team at times because he just hasn't shown up a lot. But you can see how the offense is designed for Pierre Garçon to make catches when the ball's coming out on time and in rhythm. And he can still do some things and still make some plays. Raheem Mostert gets an honorable mention for sure. And I got to talk about my guy, Richie James. Mini breakout. I thought it was going to be the full breakout. I was so excited. I think I might have jinxed him because I mentioned him on Twitter. And then, like, literally as I'm hitting the tweet button, he dropped the potential touchdown pass. So, sorry, Richie James, for jinxing you there on that one. And the offensive line, 0 sacks for 0 yards for Nick Mullins. So, that's huge. And the 49ers ran the ball really well. And so, you know, offensive line can't play any better than that. So, a lot of honorable mentions there. But when it comes to game balls, I'm only going to give out one. And Kyle Shanahan, after the game, I saw his locker room speech, and he was excited. He said it was a great game by everyone, offense, defense, special teams, so everybody gets a game ball. I'm not doing that here. I'm doing the opposite. I gave a bunch of people some respect there, some honorable mentions. I'm giving out one game ball because I think one dude really made the difference, and one dude deserves the game ball because that team and that offense looked different than it has all year, even including some of the Jimmy Garoppolo games. So Nick Mullins, you get the game ball. Kyle Shanahan didn't have the balls to just give you the only game ball. I'm going to give you the game ball. Nick Mullins making his career debut, 16 of 22 for 262 yards. That's an 11.9 average. He was chucking the ball down the field, all levels of the field with accuracy and timing. 3 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions, 0 fumbles. He was sacked 0 times, ended up with a quarterback rating of 151.9. And then that tear-jerking post-game interview with Aaron Andrews was just like, oh man, that was just like the icing on the cake. It was like, you felt so awesome for this dude who was living out his NFL dream in prime time, getting a text from Brett Favre, who he went to college, or didn't go to college with, went to the same college, Southern Mississippi, as Brett Favre. And then got a call on NFL Network after the game, apparently, where Brett Favre was talking to him and the guys all together in a post-game interview there on the field. And so Brett Favre giving his guy some love from Southern Mississippi, the dude who broke all of Brett Favre's records there. And by the way, Nick Mullins' stats are kind of crazy. I was looking at him today. He practically matched C.J. Beathard's college production in one season, his junior year. He threw for 4,400 yards or something like that and 35 touchdowns. Here's a stat from Adam Schefter after the game. Nick Mullins threw 3 touchdowns in his NFL debut, leading the 49ers to a season-high 34 points in a 34-3 victory over the Raiders. He became the first player in 49ers history to throw 3 touchdowns in his debut, and his 151.9 passer rating is the highest by any player in their NFL debut since the merger in 1970. And this bit of information from NFL Research, players with 250-plus passing yards and 3-plus passing touchdowns and 0 interceptions in their NFL debut since 1950. Hall of Famer Fran Tarkenton did it in 1961. Hall of Famer Jim Kelly did it in 1986. And Nick Mullins did it Thursday night. That's the list of dudes who threw for 250-plus yards, 3-plus touchdowns, no interceptions in their NFL debut. So there you have it. Hats off to Nick Mullins. He gets the one and only game ball for that Thursday Night Football 34-3 win over the Oakland Raiders. Enjoy it, 49ers fans. Enjoy it, players. Enjoy it, coaches. They've got a lot of time off before the Monday Night Football next week against the New York Giants, which is a very winnable game, and then a bye week. So potentially, if they win next week, they've got 3-plus weeks, I don't know how many days that is, of just basking in victory. Practically a month of just basking in victory if they could beat these two teams that come in with one win. And they got the part one's done. They beat the Raiders, and they beat them soundly. And let's see if the 49ers can keep that rolling, and we'll see if C.J. Beathard or Nick Mullins is the starting quarterback against the New York Giants. I don't see how, even if healthy, that Kyle Shanahan can insert C.J. Beathard back into the lineup. And I think it might be easy for Kyle Shanahan to say, well, look, C.J. Beathard, still his wrist isn't 100% next week. So we're going to go with Nick Mullins because C.J.'s not 100% healthy. Then after the bye, he's got an opportunity. If Nick Mullins comes down to earth, he can put a fully healthy C.J. Beathard back in at quarterback. Or if Nick Mullins does it again, then there's zero chance that you can give the job back to C.J. Beathard. That might be the way he goes about it, using that wrist injury as a, well, yeah, and just sort of hedge next week and be like, well, I'm not proclaiming Nick the starter, but C.J.'s still not 100%, so we're going to go with Nick Mullins again. And then after the bye, depending on how Nick Mullins does against the Giants, he could go either way. So that might be a way that Kyle Shanahan could hedge this thing, but even if healthy, there's no way I insert C.J. Beathard back into the lineup. I think it's a slap in the face to not only Nick Mullins, but to all the coaches and all the players, because Nick Mullins gives you a better chance to win, period. C.J. Beathard has never played as good as Nick Mullins just played on Thursday Night Football against the Raiders in primetime, his NFL debut. C.J. Beathard had never played that good in the NFL. He never played that good in college. I never watched his high school games. He probably never played that good in high school. So I don't see how you can take Nick Mullins out of the game after that performance, after how confident he was, after leading the team, all the reports about how good he was in the huddle and all the prep work he put in, how good he knew the offense, how confident he was, the timing and anticipation he threw with, playing like a veteran in his debut. That was impressive. Nick Mullins is your 49ers starting quarterback, I think, for the rest of this season. You know what else is interesting? If Nick Mullins does start the rest of the year, both Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard will have played more football in the NFL than Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo will have the fewest passes attempted in the NFL starting in 2019 out of those three quarterbacks, which is kind of crazy to think about. But anyway, yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. No Rapid React Monday, obviously. We're going to do part two of that roundtable episode with Chris Wilson and John Chick. We did a 49ers organizational draft, went through pick by pick and drafted in order who we thought were the most valuable pieces and the most valuable assets in the organization to the 49ers going forward as they rebuild this thing. And we might have had Nick Mullins a little bit too low. In fact, he was not drafted, just like the real NFL draft. Nick Mullins got overlooked and went undrafted in that exercise. But that'll be Monday's show. And of course, we'll have the weekly wink next week, probably on Tuesday. So keep those mailbag questions coming in. Hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock. And we'll be back with you next week right here on Locked On 49ers.